Good afternoon, everybody. Schwab Klotzer coming at you live from my house. It's book club class time, Monday in the afternoon, 1 o'clock. We do a little reading from our book, The Majesty of Rosh Hashanah, Understanding Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros. As we like to say in Yiddish, Menemtes Mit, we take the holiday with us. We don't leave Rosh Hashanah behind. It's a long time ago, right? It was a beautiful time of the year. And all the inspiration that we had on those 2 days should not be lost. So we started this book in anticipation of Rosh Hashanah. Let's keep reading it. You got to learn this book anyway. Got to read this book anyway. Might as well do it now. We are on page 190, page 190. We're in the eighth verse of Zichronos. We're in the eighth pasuk of the psukim of Zichronos, that Hashem remembers us. And so let's get right to it. This is a verse out of Ezekiel. Yecheskel chapter 16, verse 60. V'zacharti ani es brisi osach. Says God through the prophet Ezekiel, I will remember my covenant which I made with you in the days of your youth. I will establish for you an everlasting covenant. So the question, of course, as you're reading that is, wait a second. We already have a covenant with God. It's called the Torah. Now, we have that. That is, we've always been taught, that is the everlasting covenant. Now, is there another covenant that I'm keeping with God that I should know about? God says, I'm going to remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth. I'm going, yeah, that's right. That's called the Torah. Now Hashem says, I'm going to make you an everlasting covenant. I'll make you something that lasts forever. What could that be? Bris. Doesn't the Torah last forever? Bris Mila. Okay. My son says Bris Mila. Let's see what our commentators say about this passage. Page 190. After rebuking, and I'm reading the book, The Majesty of Rosh Hashanah by Rabbi Shimon Mordechai Cohen. Here we go. I will remember my covenant made with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish for you an everlasting covenant, Ezekiel 16. After rebuking Israel for forsaking our covenant with God and for our ingratitude, for all his miracles and guidance, Ezekiel conveys God's assurance to us that God won't act towards us as we acted towards him. His covenant, like all that he does, is forever and can never be canceled. We must, however, return to him with sincere remorse for our past shameful ways. We can then be confident of his zikaron, his remembrance of us. Rabbi Cohen is a big believer throughout the writings of this book, these various psukim, talking about remembrance, that it all comes down to us remembering him. We have to return to Hashem. We have to do tshuva. That's first and foremost, he writes. If you think these verses are only about Hashem remembering us, and truth is, it does kind of look like that. Well, don't forget, he says, the first step in all that is we guys turning to Hashem. Turning to him with repentance and remorse, and then he'll remember us. As he writes over here, we can then be confident of his zikaron, his memory, his recollection, his remembering of us. Top page 191. What does it mean when the prophet writes, quote, I will remember my covenant made with you in the days of your youth? Says Rabbi Cohen, I, God, will remember my covenant which I established with you, Israel, in your youth. When were we in our youth as a nation? Well, we were pretty young as a nation when we left Egypt. And 50 days later, there we were at Sinai. So sure enough, that's what's being said over here. That is the Abarbanel's position, the Radak, and the Mitzvah. The Radak adds that the entire period from our exile in Egypt through the years in the desert is called the youth of Israel. So when Hashem says, B'meinu Urayach, I'm going to remember you for the things that you did in the days of your youth, for the Radak, that means when we were exiled to Egypt in Jacob's time, all the way through into the wilderness and right before we entered into Israel. That's called the youth of Yisrael, the Bimei Ne'urayach, the Yimei Ne'urayach, the days of our youth. Okay. Says Rabbi Cohen, what does it mean I'm going to remember my covenant? I, Hashem, will remember my covenant which I established with you, O Israel, in your youth at Har Sinai, although you transgressed that covenant. Ba'ki mosi lach bris olam. What does it mean I will establish for you an everlasting covenant? Let's see what he says. The covenant of Sinai, eternally valid. Just as our acceptance of the covenant was forever, as it is written, Lanu ulavaninu ad olam, that's out of a pasuk in Deuteronomy, in Devarim, chapter 28, verse 29, binding Lanu ulavaninu ad olam, upon us and our children forever. That's what the Jewish people said about the Torah that they received at Sinai, that it was binding upon them, Lanu ulavaninu ad olam, upon us and our children forever. So just as our acceptance of the covenant was forever, Hashem's recognition of the covenant is also forever. That's the Radak. Just as in the merit of our acceptance of the Torah, heaven and earth were given eternal existence, so too, Hashem will eternally recognize the covenant which he wrought with us due to that acceptance. Hashem will always remember the agreement, the contract that he made with us as the nation of Israel due to the acceptance of the Torah. Hashem said, oh, you accept the Torah. So, okay, I got to make a deal with you. We'll keep you alive forever. You're going to be the Am HaNivcha, the Am Segula. You're going to be the treasured nation. You're going to be the chosen nation. You'll stick around forever. How about the Malvim? What does he say? There'll be a renewal of the covenants of the patriarchs and Sinai. Let's hear. The Malvim understands that in this verse, quote, our verse, I will remember my covenant made with you in the days of your youth. I'll establish for you an everlasting covenant. He understands that in this pasuk, Hashem promises that the covenants that he established with us at the outset of our relationship with him will never be annulled. According to Malvim, again, Hashem promises that the covenants that he established with us at the outset of our relationship with him will never be annulled. At the same time, God promises to renew these covenants by establishing a fresh one with Israel. Malvim identifies this new covenant as the same as mentioned by Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, verse 30. I'll read it in English. Behold, days are coming, says God, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their forefathers on the day that I took them by the hand to take them out of the land of Egypt, which they have transgressed. And I nonetheless have shown my desire for them, says God. For this covenant which I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, meaning days of exile, says God, I will put my Torah in their midst, and I shall write it in their hearts. I will be for them as God, and they will be my people. They will no longer need to teach each man to his friend, each man to his brother, saying, know Hashem, du et Hashem, understand God, know God, comprehend God, recognize God. No, no, no. They will no longer need to teach each man to his friend, each man to his brother, saying, do it, Hashem, recognize and appreciate and know the Almighty. Oh, no. For they will all know me, from their least to their greatest, says God. For I shall forgive their iniquities and will no longer remember their sin. End quote of Jeremiah. This, says Malbim, that's the everlasting covenant which we learn of in our verse in Ezekiel, says the Malbim. Through all the exiles we have suffered and the great miracles which God will subsequently do for us, the Torah of Hashem will become forever engraved in our heart. In this way, the Yetzer Hara will no longer have any control over us. We will then no longer have any doubts about the Hashgacha, the supervision of God and His constant presence among us, so that it will not be possible for us to sin anymore at all. Imagine a world like that, where the awareness of God is so strong and your knowledge of God's will is so profound, you won't even have a Yetzer Hara. So that's why right now we got a chaperon, because right now we do have a Yetzer Hara and it's raging. But in the future, not so much. Looks like there won't be any Yetzer Hara. So in those messianic times, we'll be doing things, we'll be listening to God, studying the Torah, keeping it, and there'll be no Yetzer Hara saying, oh, don't do that. You didn't have to really do that. Don't bother doing it. No, we'll have that. So while we do have a Yetzer Hara, where it is a Bechira, free will, free choice, take advantage of that, because in the future there will be no reward. If you've gotten a Yetzer Hara, why do you think you're entitled to reward? Okay, I have no choice practically to do what Hashem wants. Right now, you do have a choice. So hop around, grab in all you can while you can. Listen to a footnote quoting the Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni says, over there in that pasuk in Jeremiah, Yalkut Shimoni says, over there in Jeremiah, that as the Torah will then be taught to us directly by Hashem, we will no longer forget the Torah. Once Hashem teaches you Torah, you remember it forever. There's no forgetfulness. Similarly, the Medrash Tanchuma says as follows. Said Hashem, in this world, due to the Yetzer Hara, people learned Torah but then forgot. But in the world to come, I will uproot the Yetzer Hara from your midst, and you will no longer forget, as it is written in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I shall give you a heart of flesh. Furthermore, you will no longer need a man to teach you. As it is written, V'lo yilamdu od ish et reyehu. V'ish et achiv lemor, do it Hashem. Ki chulam yadu oti lemiktanam va'ad gedolam. In the future, we will no longer need a human being to teach us, because these verses in Jeremiah tell us that what? That no longer will a friend need to teach a friend. They'll no longer need to teach each man his friend, each man his brother, saying, do it Hashem. Know the Almighty. Understand Him. For they'll all know me, from their least to their greatest, is Hashem. Can you hear our tone? Right, so how about that? That's going to be the future. Hashem gives a shear Himself. Who's she going to? Goldberg? Steinberg? No, I'm going to Hashem shear. Oh, Hashem give me the shear. He gives a good shear? Oh, yeah, the best. Very clear. Yeah, then what? Well, you never forget. How about going to a class and you're never going to forget that? You will forget that teaching that you got. That's great. Right, Rabbi Cohen, pray for the speedy fulfillment of this prophecy. Come back in a normal hour. Yeshua Vishara Shah Voda writes that when reciting this pasuk in Ezekiel, it is appropriate to beseech Hashem in thought to speedily bring about the fulfillment of his promise and of all his promises for our future redemption, enabling us to have this renewed covenant and closer connection with God and his Torah. Imagine a world like that, where the knowledge of Hashem, like the song goes, Kol Haaretz Deyat Hashem, K'mayim L'yam Chasim. All the world will know about God, like the waters cover the sea. Amazing. Absolutely, positively amazing thought. So we should pray for the speedy fulfillment of that prophecy. Top page 194, a summary of the second verse from Nevi'im. I will remember my covenant made with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish for you an everlasting covenant. Hashem's covenant with Klal Yisrael lasts forever, despite our wrongdoings. But we must show remorse and must return to Torah to merit God's special attention, to merit his zikaron, his recollection, remembrance, the attention of us. At the time of the final redemption, God will renew his covenant with the Jewish people in a way that it will never again be forgotten. Super exciting stuff. We now go on to the ninth verse of Zichronos. This is really one of my favorite verses. If you'll have to say that, it's a really great pasuk, and it just jumps out at me every Rosh Hashanah because we sang this in the choir. Very beautiful, beautiful thought. Beautifully expressed by Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 19. He, Havein Yakili Ephraim. Is not Ephraim my favorite son? Im Yelad Shashuim. Is he not a delightful child? Kimi De Dabribo. And whenever I speak of him, Zachoras Karenu Ode. I remember him more and more. Alkein Hamu may I lo. Therefore, my inner self yearns for him. Rachem Arachmenu. I shall surely take pity on him. Neum Hashem, the word of God. Jeremiah 31, verse 19. Isn't Ephraim my favorite child or a delightful? Isn't Ephraim my delightful son or my favorite child? That whenever I speak of him, I remember him more and more. Therefore, my inner self yearns for him. I will surely take pity on him. That is the word of God. This verse comes from the section of Jeremiah, which is read as the Haftarah of day two of Rosh Hashanah. In that section, Klal Yisrael accepts, A-C-C-E-P-T-S, accepts, is mekabel, accepts upon itself. Israel accepts that our past ways have been wayward and express our deep regret and embarrassment. With the words, bring me back to you, and I shall return, for you are Hashem my God. In that pasuk, with those words, we beg for God's loving assistance in making the lasting changes which Teshuva demands. For we understand that only with his help can our Teshuva be complete. Top of page 196. Our verse here is Hashem's reply, as conveyed by Jeremiah. In it, God expresses tremendous yearning to have his precious children close to him again. He assures us that he, God, will indeed inspire our hearts to genuine and lasting teshuva. We can gain insight from this verse into Hashem's everlasting and limitless love for Israel. we can increase our awareness that it is not difficult for us to have a meaningful connection with God. He's waiting for Israel, longing for Israel, and is always willing to assist us in coming closer to him. When we connect with his Torah, we get through to him, evoking his favorable zikron, his desire to take us back. Havein yakir li Ephraim. Is Ephraim not my favorite son? Hashem responds. These words are God's response to Israel's teshuvah. Footnote says Ephraim here means the whole of Klal Yisrael. These words, is Ephraim not my favorite son, are Hashem's response to Israel's teshuvah. The response takes the form of an affirmative question. He is telling us that it is indeed so, that Israel is like a beloved son. Hashem turns towards us with mercy, with overflowing desire to grant our wishes, like a man who has an only son and who wants to grant his every request. So says Rashi. In the Midrash Vayikra Rabbah, we're told that the greatest expression of God's love for Israel is the fact that all the mitzvahs in the Torah are addressed to Israel. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. Speak to the children of Israel. Hashem cherishes us so much that he addresses his precious mitzvahs to us. Never even thought of that. Top page 197. Teshuvah. An amazing transformation. The Radak explains that it is as if Hashem is amazed at himself. How is it that I'm constantly remembering Israel as if they were a dear son who has never sinned to me? By expressing himself in this way, Hashem demonstrates that a complete transformation to Teshuvah can effect in us. Not only does Teshuvah lead to our receiving his pardon and freedom from punishment, Teshuvah can, and with true avoda, enable us to regain the innocence and close relationship with Hashem that we had before we sinned. We can, as it were, even surprise God himself when he perceives that we are now cleansed, more beloved to him than ever before. Eternal relationship. Bottom 197. The Midrash comments on the word li, to me. Chazal tell us, our rabbis teach that whatever Hashem associates himself with using this word, we can be sure that the association will last forever. The Midrash concludes, Habachol makom shenemar li, ezozaz, lo lolam hazeh, v'lo lolam haba. Whenever the word li is mentioned, which means, of course, to me, mine, whenever that word li is mentioned, whenever the word li is mentioned, it means that it, the relationship, will not budge, not in this world and not in the world to come. Top page 198, Im yelet shashuim, is he not a delightful child? Hashem is communicating his affection for Israel, that he derives pleasure from us, like a father enjoys the company of his beloved son. So says Rashi. Why two expressions? Favorite son, delightful child, yelet shashuim, delightful child, aven yakir, a dear son. Why two expressions? Favorite son and delightful child. The Abravanel explains that both expressions, Havein Yakir Li Ephraim Im Yelet Shashuim, isn't Ephraim my favorite son? So Abravanel says that both expressions, is Ephraim my favorite son, or the expression, or is she a delightful child, both expressions are necessary. God is telling Israel that he looks back and back It's back both at our early youth as a nation and at our later history with only love for us. He remembers Yisrael in its early years as a Yelid Shashuim, a delightful child, and in its later years as a Ven Yakir. He remembers Yisrael in its early years as a Yelid Shashuim, a delightful child, and God remembers us in the later years of Klai Yisrael as a Ben Yakir, a dear son. Once we've done tshuva, the entire negative effect of our sins is erased retroactively, and God thinks of us only in a positive light. Hashem delights in our tefillah, in our prayer. The Midrashim discuss an interesting question. When the Rebbe tells us that Hashem thinks of Israel as a Yelid Shashuim, as a delightful child, what stage of childhood is being depicted? So the Midrash brings down two opinions. The first is that a Yelid Shashuim is in his second or third year. The second one is that he's in his fourth or fifth year. What's the meaning behind these opinions? The commentaries explain that at these two different times, a child's speech is at two distinct stages of development. In the second or third year of life, a child expresses himself in sounds that begin to resemble speech. Those close to the child will delight in these early attempts at communication, although the meaning is not so intelligible. Right? Listen to a little kid prattle on. Little kid. He walks around. We continue. I'm losing my time. I'm getting tired. That's how it is. Late nights and early ups. Tiring. Let's keep reading. Again, the commentaries explain that at these two different times, Yelid Shashuim, Ben Yakir, delightful son, at these two distinct times, a child's speech is at two distinct stages of development. In the second or third year of life, a child expresses himself in sounds that begin to resemble speech. Talk 199. Those close to the child will delight in these early attempts at communication, although the meaning is not so intelligible. By the fourth or fifth year, however, the child's speech is much clearer, and the parents deserve pleasure from this newfound clarity, because his speech is getting clearer. In other words, according to the first opinion, God is telling us that he, God, delights even in our hints at communication. He shows mercy for us even when our tefillos are not clearly articulated. The second opinion holds that the greatest pleasure that we give God is when we clearly pray for our specific needs. That's the main type of tefillah that Hashem delights in. We see from both opinions that our rabbis, Chazal, our sages understand that God, as it were, derives much pleasure from our verbally expressed tefillos. Through properly utilizing our opportunities to daven to him, we become deserving of the privileged description, Yelid Sha'ashuim, a delightful child. In the next part of the verse, we present three approaches. Ki midei dabri vo zochoros kirenu od. Whenever I speak of him, I remember him more and more. So you have three approaches. Whenever I speak of him, Zacharis Kirenu Od, I will remember him more and more. Let's see the three approaches to those words. Like a father reminiscing, when speaking about his beloved son, a father continues reminiscing about that son for a long while. So much does he enjoy the pleasure of thinking about him. God is showing this level of feeling for Israel. Rashi, the Mitzuda, that's what they say. The Radak, he explains that the speaking about him, this phrase that Hashem speaks about us, means that when Hashem spoke about Israel to the Nevi'im, And there'll be more in a minute. Okay? So whenever the pasuk says, whenever I speak of him, I remember him more and more, that's equal to a father reminiscing about his son. Top page 200. Whenever I speak of him, I still remember him with the same love as in former times. That is another approach. Okay? Then when it says, whenever I speak of him, I remember him more and more. And the approach is, whenever I speak of him, I still remember him with the same love as in former times. And finally, the same love as before we sinned. Okay, the same love as before we sinned. According to this explanation, God tells Israel that following our tshuva, his love for us is the same as before we sinned. Whenever I speak with him, I remember him more and more. We'll get to that in a second. There is a footnote over here. Very long one, but I think we're going to hit it. God's, oh, and by the way, when it says, we just see, according to this explanation, Hashem tells Israel that following our tshuva, his love for us is the same as before we sinned. That's Rashi and the Abarbanel. Hashem's love for Israel is not limited to when we have done tshuva. This point is powerfully illustrated by one of the explanations given by the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah on these words. This opinion takes note of the fact that the word dabri, coming from Dalet Beis Resh, indicates harsh or exacting speech. Even at a time when I speak of him harshly, says God, I cannot hold back my feelings of love for him. Even when Hashem knows that in order to cleanse us of our avarice, what is necessary is to bring suffering and difficulties upon us. And he does so, even when Hashem knows that in order to cleanse us of our avarice, what's necessary is to bring suffering and difficulties upon us, God does so with great love and compassion. Similarly, the author of Melo Haroim, he writes regarding our pasuk, not only does God in his judgment of Rosh Hashanah refuse to accept the words of the accusations against Israel, knowing the difficult circumstances that have prevented us from achieving more, when God hears the accusing angels speaking about us, he remembers us more. He decides to improve our situation in order to allow us to be more devoted to serving him. When we were deeply mired in Tumas Mitzrayim, Hashem revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and told him, Bini Bechori Yisrael. Okay? The first of the Aseres HaDibros includes an obligation to believe that it was from the impure state that we were in at that time that Hashem lovingly took us out. How much more so that when we return to him sincerely, Hashem's love is for the masses. I'm sorry. What am I reading? The first day of service includes an obligation to believe that it was from the impure state that we were in at that time that Hashem lovingly took us. How much more that when we return to God sincerely, Hashem's love for us is without limit. How much more so? Whenever I speak with him, I remember him more and more, says the prophet. For when I speak with him, what does that mean? Through the Torah. In an additional explanation, Rashi quotes from the Midrash that Midei hints at the word Dai. Dai, of course, means sufficient, enough. This opinion understands that Dabri Bo means my speaking with him, a reference to the giving of the Torah at Sinai, God's communication with Israel. The meaning is, therefore, my speaking with him, Israel, when I taught him my Torah, is sufficient for me to have mercy on him. Top of page 201. Similarly, the Targum renders the meaning of these words, for whenever Israel takes the words of my Torah to heart to fulfill them, I remember to treat him kindly again. The Targum 2 is interpreting that my speaking with him is through the words of the Torah. Each time a Jew learns Torah with sincerity, intending to strive to put what he learns into practice, God is with him, lovingly teaching and guiding him. Hashem, in turn, is also touched, as it were, by our love of his Torah, and he and resolves to have mercy on Israel. Al kein hamo may I love, therefore my inner self yearns for him. Rachim rachmenu num Hashem, I'll surely take pity on him. That is the word of Hashem. Hashem expresses here that he can no longer bear seeing us in exile. He comes to the decision, I will surely have mercy on him and redeem him from exile. When we yearn for Hashem, Hashem reciprocates. The expression, Hamu may I lo, my inner self yearns for him. It literally means my innards, my kishkis, yearn for him, referring to a distinctly human feeling. Hashem, who has no physical form, uses this expression to enable us to grasp something of his deep feelings of love for Israel. The Midrash tells us that because Israel truly yearns for God, a yearning that is real and physically felt, God responds by yearning in turn for us. Hashem teaching us how to achieve Zikaron, remembrance, by example. Page 202 at the top. The Alchemy Amloes here quotes a fascinating insight into the above Midrash from Sefer Hon Rav. Sefer Hon Rav writes that the reason why Hashem expresses his yearning for Israel in such human terms is that he is thereby communicating how Israel should yearn for him. Excuse me. When we truly yearn, this brings sensations which are felt physically. Hashem is telling us that when our yearning for him is strong, to the extent that we feel it from the inside, God will then respond with the same level of yearning and zikaron for Israel. Rav Nechmiash adds that this explains the following verse in Jeremiah, where the Navi tells us, Hatzivi lach tzinim. Tziyunim, rather. Hatzivi lach tziyunim. Make road markers for yourselves to remember your way back to Hashem. Once we know that God's zikaron, remembrance of Israel, reflects the extent of our remembrance, zikaron, of God, we know what he'll expect of us. He wants us to use all of our abilities, intellectual and emotional, to actively remember him. He wants us to remind ourselves of the times we were close to him, to yearn for those close, for that closeness. He wants us to learn his Torah, and when doing so, to create systems to help ourselves recall our learning. He expects us to remember him even when he tests us with difficult situations. The extent that we make efforts to remember Hashem and his Torah will greatly affect his remembrance of us. May we very soon merit God's complete zikaron of Israel as promised in this book. Acceptance of the kingdom and remembering that acceptance. The Midrash, in connection with our verse, top of page 203, the Midrash discusses an important question. Why does Hashem grant Israel the extraordinary privilege of having all 50 of Hashem's mitzvahs addressed to them? Why does Hashem grant Israel the extraordinary privilege of having all of God's mitzvahs addressed to them? This was asked by Moshe Rabbeinu, who asked, Master of the world, from all 7 nations you've created in your world, why do you command me only regarding Israel? Yeah. The Midrash cites Rabbi Oven, who gave a mashal. A king who had a full royal wardrobe instructed his trusted servant to take particular care of a certain robe. The servant asked his master, out of all the royal robes possible, why do you instruct me only regarding this one? In the same way, the king replied, this is the cloak I wore on the day of my coronation. Again, the Midrash cites Rabbi Oven. There's a certain story on mashal by Rabbi Oven. A king who had a full royal wardrobe instructed his trusted servant to take particular care of a certain robe. The servant asked his master, "Out of all the royal garments you possess, why do you instruct me only regarding this one?" King replied, "This is the cloak I wore on the day of my coronation." In the same way, Hashem replied to Moshe, "They," meaning Israel, "they first accepted me as king by the Yamsuf, and they said to me, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed, God will reign forever and ever." The Midrash also quotes Rabbi Berechia, who gave a similar mashal, concluding, "It was Hashem, it was Yisrael rather." The Midrash quotes Rabbi Berechia, who gives a similar mashal, concluding, "It was Israel who accepted my malchus at Sinai," says God, "and who said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma." Again, servant asked his master, "Out of all the royal garments you possess, why do you instruct me only regarding this one?" King answered, "That's the cloak I wore on the day of my coronation." In the same way, God told Moshe, "Israel first accepted me as king by the Yamsuf and said to me, Hashem Yimloch V'Olam Ve'ed, God will reign for all eternity." The Midrash also quotes Rabbi Berechia, who gives a similar marshal, concluding, "It was Israel who accepted my malchus of Sinai. Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma. All that Hashem has said, we'll do it privately." Okay? Rabbi Berechia, a similar marshal, concluding, "It was Israel who accepted my malchus of Sinai and who said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma. All that Hashem has said, we'll do and we'll obey." We can learn a powerful lesson from the above Midrash. Acceptance of Malchus Shemayim, of the kingdom of heaven, endears us tremendously to God. When we connect in our minds and our hearts to times when we accepted God's Malchus, we achieve his favorable Zikaron. Then we earn God's remembrance of us. We accept his favorable Zikaron. In the Avodah of Zichronos, we transformed. In the Avodah of Zichronos, we transform one-time acceptances of Malchus Shemayim, of the kingdom of heaven, into living awareness of God, which will nurture us in our daily lives. In the merit of so doing, God promises that he will recognize Israel as his dear son, to whom he will speedily show his love and mercy. Let's do a quick review. Summary of the third prophet from Nevi'im. Isn't Ephraim a favorite child, or a favorite son, or a delightful child? And whenever I speak of him, I remember him more and more. Therefore, my inner self yearns for him. I will surely take pity on him. That's the word of God. Some takeaways. God loves the Jewish nation forever and is always willing to accept them when they repent sincerely. 2, tshuva can even return us the innocence and partly we had before so banned. Tshuva can even return us to the innocence and purity that we had before we sinned. 3, through prayer, we evoke God's love as a father to his son, so long as their underlying interest, intent is sincere. Once again, through tefillah, through prayer, we evoke God's love as a father to a son, as long as our underlying intent is sincere. By doing tshuva and attaching ourselves to the Torah, Hashem in turn yearns for us to treat us kindly. Beautiful. God willing, we're gonna end it here a little bit early. God willing, we're gonna pick it up on page 205 next week, concluding verse from the Torah, the 10th verse of Zichronos. It'll cap off all the 10 psukim of Zichronos. This will be the 10th and final one. Then we'll go on probably to, well, we haven't decided yet. We'll have to see. But I wish everybody a great day. Shmuel Plotzker signing off. Loving it. So glad I was able to spend time with you, advancing ourselves here in the book. Wishing everybody a great rest of the day. Hatzlacha and bracha on everything you do today. And don't forget us tomorrow night, Tanakh Tuesday, open to everybody, 7:30. We continue with 2 Kings chapter 13. Wishing everybody all the best. Have a good, successful day. Take care and be well. Remember to vote tomorrow. Bye-bye now.